Used to have a Jufro. He was born and raised out in the town of LA. That's where he went to UCLA, got his MBA, produced his first film at age 24.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. You can email me at Bruce@BruceAllen. I certainly hope you will follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen and join the Dad's Point of View Facebook page and the Dad Chat Google Plus community. So that's it for my hit pick social media sites. It is time for some spiritual talk with Pastor Drew Sams, a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village. Pastor Drew and his wife Erica live in Newbury Park, California, and are the proud parents of two-year-old Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on again.
Well, I love it. It's been it's been 3 years at least, I think. Long before your son was around, so it's been quite a while. Well, let's get a health and welfare update on the beginning of your son's third year of life.
Boy, it's tremendous. You know, even as I'm on the phone with you, I'm looking out the window. I'm at my parents' house out in Glendale. And my mom is setting up one of those, you know, those swings that you tie from a tree branch? So she's setting that up right now. And my son is running in circles around her.
Can't wait.
Giddy. Can't wait for her to get it set up. So
He's
doing great and healthy and lots of fun.
That's great. So if you could sign a life contract, Pastor Drew, that would guarantee you 80 years of life, health, and trouble-free, would you do so?
No way. I got enough anxiety as it is, I think doing that would, make me less human in some ways.
So tell me what you think about that whole concept and the idea of the uncertainty that we humans live with, which I don't think any other life form has even consciousness of mortality, which is one of the main distinctions between us and all forms of animals.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've even read studies. I can't cite any off the top of my head, but studies that show that it is true that only humans have that that actual awareness and cognitive engagement with the idea that one day this is going to end. And I think that
all living forms, I think, understand and feel pain, but that's a whole lot different than understanding to whatever degree we can the idea of death.
Oh, completely. And, you know, you can see in other species, you know, a sense of mourning when, a mother horse loses her young child, little baby horse. What is that, a colt? I can't even think of the name. I don't know my animals.
But pony.
You can see that sense of mourning, but there is, at least everything that I've read and science has shown, that it's really only humans that have this understanding of life ending, and as you put it, a sense of mortality. But I think to go back to your question of would I choose to have a contract where I would know exactly how long my life would be, I think one of the things that would then be a natural result of that is there'd be tremendous certainty on when that last day would be. And in many ways, I think I wouldn't live life in the present. I wouldn't live life moment to moment, really enjoying each day, because I think I'd be either counting down the days, or I'd say, "Oh well, I've got more time, you know, I've got 40 more years, I've got 30 more years, I've got 20 more years." I'm the type of person that if I have a deadline, if it's 3 weeks of work that I got to do, and I've got a 6 month deadline, it'll take me all 6 months. But if I have 3 weeks of work, but a 2 week deadline, somehow I'll fit those 3 weeks into those 2 weeks. And so I think the same would be true with life. If I knew exactly how long it would be, I think I'd just put off a lot of things, and I'd miss out on much of my life.
I agree. I would probably be eager to sign such a contract if I was in some form of constant pain from some sort of illness. But since most of us don't endure that kind of horrible suffering, I think the uncertainty of life gives it its meaning and does encourage us to live every day. Look, the news, sadly, is filled with horror story after horror story of people that die suddenly or tragically or accidentally or at the hands of another. And so we are always reminded of how soon and quickly and unexpectedly life could be taken from us. And I think that reminder, for some of us, and maybe the older we get, the more we're conscious of it, because we are running out of time, It may not be a time frame we know exactly, but you know, at my age, I am in the last third or so of my life, based on all actuary tables I know. So every day is very precious to me.
Yeah, and I think when you can have that perspective, when you can take each day as a gift, the relationships you have, you can be intentional about not knowing how long you'll be able to enjoy them or have them, not only for yourself, but those around you. I think we're able to live more in the present. And I just think that I've noticed, even for myself, I won't even speak about society, but myself, I can get so preoccupied with all the things that I've got to get done in the future that I just forget to be present in the moment for today, to be with my son, to be with my wife, my friends, those in my life that I really care about. I'm always just so preoccupied. And I wonder, you know, if I'm not needing to be more intentional about that moving forward.
What does Scripture have to say about mortality and life? And you said something on the break that there was this huge difference between human contracts and the covenant that we have with God. Would you please explain that again to me and to our listeners?
Yeah, you know, in fact, the word contract is never used in the Bible. Contract, by definition, is a binding agreement between two or more parties. We make contracts all the time, our cell phone, if you lease a car. The thing with contracts is if one party in the contract doesn't live up to their end of the agreement, then that contract is broken. You can step out of it. There's damages to be paid. Thankfully, our relationship with God and what he models for us is so much deeper and richer than that. The language that's used throughout Scripture is an idea of covenant. And in some ways, it's similar, but it's vastly different because unlike a contract, a covenant is a one-way binding agreement that each party in the covenant will make. So basically, it's no matter what you do, no matter how much you don't live up to your end of the bargain, I'm going to be faithful with my promises to you. And so God makes covenants with us. And so though we forget him, though we turn away from the life that he designed and desires for us, the Scripture says that he's faithful to 1,000 generations, that the type of love that he has is a covenant, everlasting love. And so that language is so rich. And it really, in all of the language, and to get to your first question, there's always promises of God being faithful to us, his presence, blessing us, but there's never ever a promise over having a long life or a certain amount of years. But there are promises, if we obey him and trust him and follow him, that we would have a fulfilled life, a satisfied life, a blessed life. Though there still will be pain, there's still suffering, we can't avoid that. There's a deeper, rich connection that he promises for us that I think is even more valuable than the number of years that we could get in your scenario of a contract with God, which is a fun topic to think about.
I like that. I like what you said. No one would think about Jesus having lived a pain-free life, yet even as he was being tortured and going to his death, he had words of comfort for all those around him and seemed more concerned about others than his own personal pain, from what I know. And you know, I'm not a Christian, but I certainly am well aware of his impact on the world. And so I would say he had a very fulfilling life, whether or not he's the Son of God, and he certainly was taken from the earth far too quickly. So that's almost the perfect example.
Yeah, it sure is. And there's so many examples through the Hebrew Scriptures, the Christian Scriptures, of people who, Job, for example, you look at his life and you think, man, I don't want a life like that. And by the end, he is experiencing a life that's so dependent upon God, and he gets blessed, you know, multiple times over from what he had before. So that idea of covenant, I think, is so interesting. I'm actually officiating a wedding this weekend, and I always talk about that language whenever I officiate a wedding, because often we think of a marriage as a contract. And according to the state, it is. But there's a deeper idea of covenant that I think can make our marriages deeper and healthier and ultimately longer
lasting.
That's
really good. My wife is absolutely convinced, though, that it's a contract, and I owe her tons of things. And on that note, I will ask you to remind us where you're not blogging and where our readers can find you.
Not blogging on the web at drewsams.com, but I am on all social networks at SurferDrew.
It's 2 years now, Pastor Drew. You've got to get writing again, my friend.
I do.
All right. I love you. And I am so grateful to have you on our show and to have you in my life. Thank you very much. Have a good rest of your day with your family. And listeners, stay tuned for Dr. Werveren coming up after these messages.
Happy 40th birthday, here's your first kid. Round 2-3 years later, it's time to leave showbiz. Gets a divorce, now he's single again. Time to start slaying with ladies, cause he's the man. Settles down a couple years later with a dope wife. Soon after has a revelation, reinvents his life.